Coming up here on KNKX is a story from our weekly show, Sound Effect. Here's Sound Effect host Gabriel Spitzer.
Welcome back to Sound Effect. I'm Gabriel Spitzer, and today our theme is Better Late Than Never. So there's this online test where the faces of people of different races flash up on your screen, along with words like good, bad, sweet, bitter, and then you have to immediately click on one of the words when you see the face. It tests our implicit racial biases in a way that's really hard to fool. The results can be enlightening, or horrifying, because it turns out that most of us have implicit bias. Dr. Caprice Hollins teaches workshops that help people confront their prejudices, even when they've been unaware of them. And that is something that Hollins understands. She says her own family is so diverse that she always figured she couldn't be biased.
My mom is white. I have four older brothers and sisters that are white from my mom's first marriage. I have a brother who's gay that I always knew was gay. I didn't know what gay was, but it was clear this brother was different from other boys. I have black grandparents who legally adopted my mom when she was 41 years old, and a dad who married a woman from Thailand, and a brother who's a Republican, and I can go on and on.
But as an adult, Hollins began to see herself a little differently. She discovered that even she harbors biases. And that led to a lifelong commitment to being honest about her baggage and helping other people do the same.
For my entire life, from as long as I can remember, there was often tension between me and black girls as a child and later black women. And I never understood that tension. So once I realized and was able to embrace that I have privilege as a light-skinned multiracial woman, which I'd never heard of before graduate school, that I benefit simply because of the color of my skin, and shifted from this narrative of me too, my experience is the same because I'm black, to yes, I experience oppression, but there are also some different things about the ways in which, you might experience oppression that I don't.
And what did it feel like to have those realizations about yourself and your own attitudes? Was it uncomfortable for you in some ways?
I call them hurt so good moments. Right. So, yeah, it is hard. And, you know, so Ilse and I, my business partner, we take people through awareness workshops. That's one of the categories of this work. And this is where people are doing really difficult work to look at where they've been socialized, what are the messages that they've received, kind of deconstructing and reconstructing a new identity. And we tell people this is the hardest work you can do because you've spent a lifetime developing a sense of who you see yourself to be. My best friend is, I have children who are, I work with someone who is, I dated someone once, you know, and so those become our narratives of who we see ourselves to be.
Are people who are that far along still able to change?
Yeah, you know, this is kind of a sad story, but I remember working with an organization. They brought me in over time. I got to do 4 intensive days with them. And there was an older gentleman, retired, and he really struggled in the beginning. And as the time is going on and I keep coming back, I'm watching him shift. By the 3rd workshop, he would talk about how he was having conversations with people that he knew, what was looking different for him, how he was seeing things differently. And then by the 4th workshop, I had found out that he had died. And I always think about how people will say to me, well, you know, that's an older generation. My grandparents are never going to change. But the idea that change can't happen because you're at a certain age, in my mind, is kind of ridiculous.
And it seems like you have to be pretty motivated to do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Frances Kendall, in her book Unpacking White Privilege, says white people have to know what's in it for them in order to do this work. Whereas people of color, we really don't have a choice. Right. I have children I have to think about. I have a, you know, senior in high school that's over 6'4" wearing size 16 wide shoes. I got to talk to him about when he leaves that front door.
How do you talk about these issues with him and with the particular position that he's in as a person of color who is physically imposing, who might face a lot of assumptions out in the world?
I also have I have a 17-year-old son and I have a 15-year-old daughter. And so the conversations with my son, and I'll give you some examples in a moment, are more around how the world is going to see you as a Black man. You don't get to just be Mate. So he's more likely to be seen as a threat. With my daughter, the conversations are more around counter narratives, right? It's meaning that she's more likely to get the message that because of her height, because of her size, because of her skin tone, the texture of her hair, that she's not beautiful. So with her, it's more around wanting her to know that in spite of what the world or who the world tells you that you are, here's who you are. So it's really great now where my kids are at. The other day, my brother does like computer repairs. And so, you know, I told him, hey, you know, the kids are off for the summer. How about if we pay them to go around and put flyers on people's cars, right? So I hand them these flyers. My son can now drive. I'm telling him, you go to the Fred Meyers or what have you, go to the parking lot, start putting these flyers on cars. And my son says, well, Mom, you know, what if someone thinks I'm tampering with their car? So this is the way I want him to think, right? I want him to imagine what are the potential ways in which people might view him as a Black man walking around to the different cars. And this is the added burden that I have as a parent. And this is the added burden that he's going to have to learn to carry as a Black man. And by the way, you don't have to be a big, tall, you know, 6'4" Black man to worry about those things. So now he's talking with me about it as well. And so I feel success.
And finally, this may seem phenomenally like ridiculous question, totally self-evident, but what is it that motivates you and make you want to do this work with professionals, with people who are adults who maybe didn't come out and seek it out? Why is it so important to you?
Yeah, when you ask that question, and I think maybe I feel emotional because you just asked me about my children. And I always, you know, I know Gabriel intellectually, I usually can answer this question and say, well, it's for my children. But I think the emotion is just because it is so real for me that I don't get to just parent my children. I don't get to just say, what school will they go to? You know, what hairstyle will they go out and put this flyer on the car? Like there's so much more energy and work. And I am so deathly afraid of the what ifs, that my fear is that if white people, that good, kind, loving, moral, ethical white person, doesn't get that racism still exists, and it still exists in such a way that we are seeing disparities and disproportionality in education and healthcare. And, you know, the idea that my son is likely to be shot first and then we'll ask the questions about why he was there or what he was doing. If I don't get white folks in this work with me, then my children's children will experience the same thing, that my children will have to educate their children, and it will just continue. Because I think that the harm of racism today in many ways is just as dangerous as the racism that existed in the 60s. It's just looking different and it is getting harder to prove, but we're still seeing what's happening to people of color's health and what's happening in education and who's locked up in the prisons. And I'm just so afraid. I am so afraid for my children. Yeah.
Well, Caprice Hollins is co-founder of Cultures Connecting, which does consulting and coaching work around recognizing and overcoming bias and prejudice. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you, Gabriel.